Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you on Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone is wearing that stocking hat. And what are you rocking, a UNO Mavs sweater?
I've got the matching sweatpants to go with it, too.
You know, I don't care what pants you have on. That's okay.
Do I need any?
Yes, you do. Walk around here. It's not Saturday morning, Colton.
We have other people are here, right?
We have a different routine on Saturday mornings than we do on our Fridays. Hope you're doing all right. Can join us and get involved with Hail Varsity Radio, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Can send an email. I've been bad this week about reading email, and forgive me for that. We'll get more email comments throughout the show, so can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com and send us a tweet at Schmidt underscore radio, at HaleVarsity, at Two Birds, One Stone. Here's what we got going. Greg Smith, a recruiting hit for us. Get Greg's thoughts on, you know, the void that is Coach Dawson. Where do you go? Who do you look at? What region do you want? Greg can hit on that. Some 2020, some 2021 thoughts as Nebraska is getting loaded up with some kids that may look at graduate transferring. Greg will have some names. Also, really talented group of kids from around the Texas area maybe finding their way as a 7-on-7 group to Lincoln. So, that's on the way. Greg, in about 15 minutes, we'll hear from Coach Tim Miles. Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, will join us in 1 hour. Brandon Vogel, I know you chatted with Vogues on Monday. I did not get a chance to talk with Vogues, so I need my Vogues fix. And then excited about this, head coach for Nebraska Wrestling is Mark Manning. Got state wrestling going on in Omaha, and Mark Manning and his Huskers head to Ohio State for a showdown at 1 o'clock on Sunday. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Nationally, you got the All-Star Weekend. When's the last time you watched an All-Star game or a dunk contest? Some of us still have the 88 dunk contest on VHS with no VHS to play it on, where MJ took down Dominique Wilkins. It was awesome. Don't know how Jordan won it. He did. Rest is history. We wore that tape out. It was fun to watch. That was a free throw line cleared for takeoff moment that Jordan fans remember forever. Colin Kaepernick and the NFL have settled. Not a ton of commentary by the NFL or Kaepernick's people, but they have settled. Yay. So what's this mean? We may get into that. I am absolutely worn down to a nub the last 3 years of the Kaepernick saga because it's annoying. Sorry. Absolutely annoying. Mm-hmm. So there you go. We'll get into some bracketology here in a moment. That's where we're going to start things off. Okay, so Nebraska basketball, you're feeling okay after the win against Minnesota. Tim Miles is, I think, feeling all right. It's got to be. It's better than the alternative. It's better than 8 in a row losing that. And Northwestern's a team that I think is 1-6 on the road. They are 12-12. They are a far cry from that tournament darling 2 years ago. So they're a team you should beat, but they're also a team that's kind of like Penn State that is dangerous. It's kind of like Minnesota that if they're feeling like it, they can beat you. So with Nebraska basketball, where they're at, what they got to do, I guess my question for you as a Nebraska basketball fan have you allowed yourself to kind of peek ahead? Have you looked ahead to what's after Saturday? And we started this conversation with Rick Pizzo on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Let's lay out the final seven, now the final six games for Nebraska basketball. And Pizzo's like, dude, just take care of Minnesota. Take care of Northwestern. Those are winnable games. Do them at home. And then let's talk. Let's get that conference record up to 5-10 before we say anything more, and get your normal number up to 15-11. So that'll be a challenge. This thing's going to be close. It'll be kind of a bloodbath. Mm-hmm. It'll be low 60s likely again. I mean, Vic Law and company are just going to bang down low, and Nebraska's got to stay out of foul trouble. A lot will have to do with what Nebraska wants to do on offense. Do they shoot close to the rim and finish off the dribble drive like they did against Minnesota? Or do they just jack threes? Do you get a good game from Glenn? Do you get a good game from James? You get back-to-back good games from Glenn and James. Do you get a better game from Roby? Does your bench do what they did? I mean, those are all questions we don't have answers to because you've seen minimal consistency. What I do know about this Nebraska basketball team, though, and Coach Miles laid it out, the question was asked to him, what's your guy's mood like? What's your team's feeling like right now? And I think it's very fair because you look at this Nebraska basketball team, and are they doing all right? Are they cut nine here? Are they ready? Because they've been through the ringer, up and down, not confident, feeling it, very confident. So they've been kind of a mess emotionally and mentally. How are they going into Saturday?
Yeah, I think the guys, you know, I believe the guys are in a good spot. As a coach, you know, you worry about them losing hope. Yeah, they're not, nobody's going to quit. Nobody truly quits as a college athlete. Now, you may have a bad outcome. You know, we've seen football teams, basketball teams get blown out. But usually that's because they lose hope, you know. And then the quitting, quote unquote, but they don't do their, you know, if they're there working every day, they're working really hard. What happens if you don't believe in yourself and have that confidence? And I think that, you know, you saw a group that's, yeah, I see a path, you know, where we can still be a viable team and make postseason. And so, and I think that's important because you don't want to lose that.
You don't want to hear it as a Nebraska basketball fan. I mean, if you're diehard, you'll entertain it. You can go to, all right, there's still a chance because there is to make some noise. As the normal Nebraska basketball fan that checks in when they're doing well, you're over it. They have lost your faith completely. So they won. Great. What's it mean? Is it starting something, or do they finally just get a break and beat somebody that's even more disastrous on the road than them? I mean, let's just call it like it is.
Right.
So I like what Miles had to say. You know, at times, I don't know what you thought, Colton, but I thought, like, the Rutgers game, they checked out. The Maryland game, they checked out. It was just brutal. And then you see some games, like their effort against Purdue, their moxie against Illinois coming back. I mean, that Illinois looked like they were going to get crucified. Mm-hmm. You blink and it's 9-0. Illinois is beating the hell out of everybody right now. Like, the best sub-500 team ever. So you look at this Nebraska team, and I'm glad there is a difference presented to me. Does this team quit on their coach, or do they lose hope? And clearly, the way he laid it out, look, they got very small. They got very unsure. They were not confident. They didn't want to screw up. They were afraid to fail. So they lost hope. And I think with their loss of hope at some points in this season, the fan base that's still showing up, super thick and thin, I think the hope for postseason, the right postseason, is gone. Like, there's not many Nebraska fans out there that think the NCAA tournament is well within grasp. This team, there's a small percentage of me with this Nebraska basketball team that thinks they are screwy enough, they are unpredictable enough that they make a little noise somehow after they've been counted out, just because it'd be epically Nebraska basketball. Just when you sign off on them, here's your death certificate, they figure out some way to pull it out. I don't know that that's possible with Copeland gone. I am glad that you're seeing some guys off the bench get minutes off the bench and they're performing. They're not getting yanked after a mistake. That has been that needed to be the process all year. And I know Amir Harris had mono, so he was hurt. But I'm glad when Nana is in, he's not taking a shot 3 seconds after he catches the ball. He's been better. I'm glad that they went dribble drive. And I'm glad that Palmer went 7 of 10 from the floor and he got to the rim. He didn't settle. Same with Glenn. So those are all good things. But let's get a win if you're a Nebraska basketball fan Saturday. Let's get the streak now a real thing again where you won two in a row at PBA. And then it's gonna be a son of a bee. That's just how it's gonna be at Penn State. Because you got to go win there before you get a shot at Purdue. Mm-hmm. If Nebraska, they have 6 games left, if they go 5-1, they can get into the NCAA tournament. Not just like slide in, but work their way up to probably an 11 or a 10 seed.
What would that put them at record wise?
If you give them a 5-1 spurt right now,
18 and 12?
That would put them at 19-12.
19-12.
And then you go take one
in the tournament.
In the tournament, assuming you're not playing 5 games in 5 days.
Yeah.
We'll get to the phones here and we'll get back to Nebraska basketball. Moose, what's up? How are you?
Afternoon. It's a little dicey out here.
It is. It sucks outside. I'm looking out the window in the studio, and it looks like the planet Hoth.
The older I get, the more I'm like, what am I doing here in the wintertime?
No, I don't disagree, bro.
Okay, so captain of the Thick and Thin Society right here.
Mm-hmm.
I was glad to see, like you said, getting to the rim. There was an obvious slight tweak to the whatever you want to call it, offense, where it's starting with that 3-man weave and just mm-hmm. downhill.
Yeah.
And James looked like the old James getting to the rim and not putting up a tentative, you know, kind of going a little harder. I do think that we see Gamer Glenn the rest of the season. I think something happened. I think him having success, because he missed his first, what, 5 shots?
He was 1 for 5 to start the game.
Yep. And what I had been seeing before that, he would have kind of folded or, you know, said, okay, I'm off. I'm going to try to create for others. But he realizes we don't have that luxury right now. So win Northwestern Saturday, which I think we do. Penn State's a mother.
Yeah, that game sucks.
Get that one. And to be honest with you, I think 2 out of those next 4, if you manage to beat Purdue and Iowa at home, you're 18-13, and yeah. one in the tournament gets you in for sure.
I disagree. I love your passion. You got to go stay. You got to go take one from Sparty or Michigan. Period.
Those of us not around here, meaning national pundits, would say otherwise.
Well, depends on the day for the national pundits, because some have Nebraska still in, some have Nebraska the first 4 out, some have Nebraska. ESPN Bracketology, we'll get to that in a minute. They aren't even on the grid right now. They're not even on the last 4 out or the next 4 out. There's a lot of national people right now that got on the Tim Miles bandwagon right now that are trying to cover their ass
about
lofty
that.
Projections for Nebraska this year.
I get you, and I don't blame them. but I do think that 4-2 the rest of the way, and 1 in the tournament, doesn't count you out.
I agree. I don't think it counts you out. But why repeat last year? Go easier said than done. Granted, and Moose, thanks for the call, brother. Why risk it? Because if you can close out, God, we're talking hypothetically here. You can get Purdue in Lincoln.
Based on how you played them the last time.
Sure, you can get Purdue in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. You can't screw up at Penn State.
Yeah.
You can't lose that. You got to win Saturday night, first of all. I like counting other people's money here. But, I mean, Michigan, you match up well with, you have. Okay?
They lost to Penn State.
And Sparty's a little bit better, Sparty now. And then, I mean, Iowa's a hell of a win. Mm-hmm. And think about that. You could be going for a sweep against Iowa. You could have split at worst with Maryland. You're right there. Your losses on paper look really good, except for the seven in a row, where some of the teams that barely have like climbed back from the dead. And I'm talking Illinois, and I'm talking Indiana, and I'm talking who else?
Rutgers.
Yeah, you and your naked mile.
Yeah.
So
don't remind me.
It's doable because there's opportunity. But Saturday needs to happen, and then in Unhappy Valley, you got to win your next two for us to discuss. Because I think you lose to Penn State or Northwestern, you could win against Purdue, Michigan State, and Iowa, and still be kept out.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. He has got his Lakers parka on. He's about to scoop. But before that, we need a recruiting hit from Mr. Greg Smith at HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV. Greg, what's up, man? How you been?
I'm pretty well. I'm trying to de-thaw. Like you said, I am trying to get ready to go scoop, so I'm getting the nerve up. I feel like this interview will help me get my nerve up.
We'll get you. You'll run through that kitchen door into the garage and grab the shovel. It'll be okay. It's been a busy week for Nebraska football. Not great news when it comes to Maurice Washington, his situation. I'll get your take on that in a minute. I want to start with Mike Dawson. And as well as you did and Hale Varsity did covering recruiting with that defensive line haul this 2019 class, can you kind of put into words just how effective Dawson was in the short time he was here? And then, you know, piggybacking on that, where's Frost and Shenander go? To find the next guy that's as good.
Right. You know, it's interesting. Like, Mike Dawson was such a, I thought, interesting guy to follow throughout his short time here. Because if you remember, like, when he first got here, like, he barely talked in those media availabilities. Like, he didn't really seem like he had much of a personality. And by the time we got through the season, like, he was one of the better guys to talk to. And the reason that I bring that up is because I kind of think that that's what he's like. He was like on the recruiting trail as well, where maybe it takes a little bit to kind of get, for him to get warmed up. But once he did, like, his players really raved about him. Ty Robinson, Masai Newsome, Ethan Piper, all of those guys had plenty of great things to say about him. So he had a lot of different responsibilities with those linemen, but also trying to get Nebraska back into New Jersey, as that's an area that Nebraska really wanted to get into as well.
You know, and he's a guy that came from the NFL to Central Florida, and now he's back in the NFL in the New York, Jersey area with the Giants, obviously. So kudos to him getting back to the league. With what's next for Nebraska, are there folks that Frost can turn to? Does he look at people that have kind of impressed him in his time as a head coach? Does he look to somebody that he has ties with at Oregon, AAC? Do you go and grab an assistant somewhere in the Big Ten? I mean, where do you think Coach Frost looks?
You know, that is the big million-dollar question, right? Is I feel like Husker fans immediately turn to every, like, former player that either played on the defensive line here or coached defensive line here. But I get the sense that Nebraska is looking outside of the Husker family for this hire. And I'm hoping that this is not just the recruiting guy in me, but I think that they may end up prioritizing recruiting on this one, because I really feel like Nebraska could use – another ace recruiter on this staff, particularly on the defensive side of the football. And I think offense is pretty well handled with the collection of guys they've got recruiting on that side. But another ace recruiter would be really nice. So when you start to look at guys that Frost may try and tap into for this position, I think that you start to look at guys that have track records of recruiting, whether or not that's the former USC defensive line coach that was let go, who I don't think that Trojan fans are really all that happy with him being let go, but that's a whole other mess because they've got their own thing with Clay Helton going on out there. Whether or not that's some other guys like Montgomery, I forget his first name, who's up at Green Bay right now. I don't know if you can entice him to come back to the college game as well, but I think there's names out there, but I do think that it's going to go outside of the Husker family for this one.
You know, recruiting base, what would you prefer? I mean, do you want a guy that can rock Texas like Greg Austin? Do you want a guy that can get in there in Missouri like Oklahoma has done, like Clemson has done, like Ohio State has done? I mean, is there a regional fit that is, I guess, a preference for you?
Yeah, if Nebraska, and we've talked about this a lot, and I'm really consistent here, if Nebraska is going to really make an effort at the whole, we want to recruit St. Louis and we want to do better in Missouri, then it makes sense to have a guy that, if he doesn't have ties to St. Louis, he definitely needs to be someone that you have confidence that you can drop off in St. Louis and have him really make some hay. I think that it is kind of important that Nebraska look for either someone that has ties to St. Louis or you feel comfortable recruiting there, or, you know, the holy grail that everybody wants is, can you recruit the big boys from the South? Because that's where all the defensive linemen are anyway.
Greg Smith with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter is where you follow him. So the hybrid outside linebacker spot, give us an update for 2020 with Nebraska. Who are some of the names Nebraska's in on as they're trying to make that a close here for next season signing day?
Yeah, there's a kid out in Washington, last name Latau. It's hard pronouncing the first one. I haven't heard him say it quite yet, but he's 6'4", 225, a kid that really can run, and he plays a lot of safety out in high school right now. So as he slides down and continues to fill out and go to that outside linebacker spot, he would definitely be a guy to watch. Like we mentioned, St. Louis, there's a host of guys out in St. Louis. There's Blaze Gunnarsson out of Iowa. There's a couple players out in Colorado. So there's a lot of names on the board right now for Nebraska when it comes to that outside linebacker spot as they start to fill and populate that board. I also anticipate that there'll be more guys that we're made aware of as spring ball gets started up, as you know, the coaching staff kind of comes off of their mini vacations, which I know they spent a lot of that time watching film and kind of reevaluating and restacking the board.
Greg, a thought here on some of the targets, the grad transfer. Let's talk there for a minute. Let's stop there and spend a second on grad transfers for the wideout spot and other positions. What's the latest with that?
Yeah, so, you know, Juwan Johnson was a guy you may be familiar with, Big Ten country out at Penn State, a 6'4", 205 receiver. He was a guy there was a little bit of interest there with Nebraska. I wouldn't say it was much because they really didn't get far enough down the road to have a visit or anything like that. He actually announced that he'd be going to Oregon after taking a visit out there. So Nebraska continues to look, and I don't want this to come across that Nebraska missed on Johnson or that they missed on Lawrence Cager, because I don't think either of those guys got a real strong push from Nebraska, but I do think that that wideout spot is one in which you'll see Nebraska make a push for eventually after spring, but also still offensive line, particularly center, after we see what happens with the guys that are already on campus, if none of them can really step up and grab the job. And then you'll see a kind of best available player comes about after that.
7-on-7 team that you wrote about, Fast Houston. They're going to be headed to Lincoln, a 7-on-7 team from Texas. Pretty loaded lineup, right?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. When you look at those teams, man, down in Texas, California, down in Florida, a lot of them are just loaded up with talent. This Houston one is no different. And if my count is, they have about 5 or 6 four-star prospects just for the 2020 class, kind of headlined by four-star cornerback Lorando Johnson. They also have a 2021 wide receiver who has basically offers from everyone at this point. Latrell Neville, who's going to be a big-time national recruit if he's not already with the offers that he has. He has a Nebraska offer, too. But, yeah, those guys tweeted out that they're going to be making a visit out to Lincoln at some point this spring. And that's something that Nebraska has to do. And it's not just because it's in Texas, but because if you can get in with some of these 7-on-7 programs and get them on your campus and just get them exposed to what's going on here in Lincoln, kind of like they did with what they've done before with other 7-on-7 teams, but also with other high schools that have a lot of players. Like, remember last spring that Detroit Cass Tech up in Michigan had a bunch of guys come out. Now those guys are now starting to come to the time where their recruiting is really heating up, and Nebraska will be in the mix for some of those guys. So it's always a good idea to get some of those talented folks on your campus over the spring.
Yeah, get in front of them and have them get in front of you. And the thing about 7-on-7s, man, I mean, you're getting football year-round in some of those sunshine states where, I mean, it's just long. It's just more development. Greg, Demetrius Davis, dual-threat quarterback, kid for 2021. What do you like about him? And I know it's Bama, it's Florida State, it's Southern Miss, it's Arkansas, it's LSU. So Nebraska's at least kind of in that early mix. But what wows you about him?
First of all, he is kind of a dual-threat quarterback dream, right? He's a kid who's highly accurate, has a strong arm, and runs really well. It was 71% completion percentage just as a sophomore, leading his team down in Houston to a state championship. He had over 40 touchdowns through the air as well, I think something like 3,500 yards. So he's a heck of a player. And to have that type of production as a sophomore while leading your team to a state championship is really impressive. I talked to him. He loves Mario Verduzco. That's a guy, and we've talked about this before. When kids like Mario, like, they really like him, right? They definitely click with him. And he said that Mario is his guy, and between Coach Verdue and Coach Frost and his track record, he and his parents, he said, are really interested in Nebraska, and they're going to come up here in the spring and check things out. But that's going to be a kid that will be a major recruit going forward. But we know, you know, as we've had a 2020 commit for about a year now. Those quarterback commits go fast, and you want to get in early to try to secure a big time one.
Well, it sounds like Demetrius is really, really talented. You got Logan out of Bama that is already in for 2020. So, I mean, keep that quarterback machine rolling. Greg, about 90 seconds, not long enough, but that's what we got. Just your reaction to Maurice Washington, this situation, and I'm not going to ask you for a prediction on things. I mean, that's, you know, there's no where to go with it, but just kind of your assessment of where Nebraska's at with him and where he's at with Nebraska.
Yeah, I think at this point we're still in kind of the exploratory phase as it comes to, like, just finding out where we are in the legal process with Mo, right? So we know that the judge has signed the warrant and he'll be going back to California at some point to face charges, but we don't know what's going to happen between now and when he goes back to California, if there'll be some sort of plea deal reached, if they're going to try to take him to trial or anything like that. And I feel like we still have a good amount of information yet to find out about this whole situation.
Right. I mean, there, you know, how do you want to proceed with handling this case? That's the question. And any idea, I mean, do you think between now and in March 4th, when spring ball gets rolling, I think March 4th is the date anyway, that something will have moved with this Mo process as far as he's at least been able to get to California? Do you have a guesstimate on the timeline here when he heads there?
No, I don't know anything really, but except for, March 4th is the date that spring ball starts. And I think that, to me, if you're a Nebraska and you're Mo, you want him to go out there before spring ball starts so that you could get some of the back and forth, just mechanically, just logistically speaking, to get some of the mechanical back and forth out of the way on that so you have a little bit more resolution. But I don't know if that's in what California is thinking. The state of California is thinking, hey, we need to work around when spring ball starts either. That will be something interesting to follow.
Greg, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks as always, man. Have a good weekend.
Now enjoy the scooping, Mr. Greg. Awesome stuff from Greg Smith. We'll have that interview posted on In Demand on ESPNLincoln.com. More thoughts on the bracket talk.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. Hope you're doing well. Great to be with you on Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. It is slick and icy. It's garbage outside where we're at, and hopefully you're safe and moving appropriately so if you're on the road. So when you do get into that car, get buckled up. Do you want the seatbelt or the windshield to stop you from moving forward? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when you're in your vehicle and your body needs to slow down. That means whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat, buckle up now, click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Okay, we were talking recruiting with Greg Smith. Pretty big time 2021 dual threat quarterback is thinking Nebraska. Good stuff and info from Greg Smith. We spent time here. We always kind of do a crop report on Friday, end of the week, where are teams at. And Colton, you looked at Sports Illustrated. Mm-hmm. I've looked at ESPN. And there's Fox's that has, I think, Howie Schwab. Mm-hmm. I think he still has Nebraska in. ESPN doesn't have Nebraska on the radar. And Nebraska's lost 7 in a row. Now, they stopped that bleeding. Don't know if it is a bunch of stitches or if it's a Band-Aid when we look at the Minnesota game.
Right.
I know this with Nebraska. I know Nebraska's 4-9 currently against teams per bracketology with ESPN that are predicted to be in the tournament. And this week's been all right for Nebraska. Okay. Illinois, they keep winning. That you want to look at like bad losses, right? Illinois is your bad loss with their record. Rutgers also doing Nebraska solid because Rutgers is playing good basketball. Naked Mile guy,
yeah.
Colton Stone. Yeah. So those are two positives. Indiana, Minnesota, and Seton Hall are back, not just on the bubble, but in the tournament right now per ESPN.com. So what you have right now with Nebraska, 4-9 versus tournament teams. You've lost to Ohio State at home. Isn't good. You are competitive against Iowa. Clemson is now in the field as a 10 seed. That's a win. Sparty did Sparty things to you. Tough fought ball game. How do you respond in their joint towards the end of February? Wisconsin, still a 5 seed. You lost to them, also within 10. Okay, so you've been embarrassed by Maryland. You've been embarrassed by Texas Tech, and then there's a slew of games in there that you shouldn't have lost, like Illinois. You're the air quote better team. Illinois has got insane talent. Like Illinois, I would be shocked if Illinois just kind of says screw it and ends up 500 this year.
Yeah.
I mean, legit, they're that good, playing that well, and they could really hose a couple of Big Ten teams, and I'm getting way, way, way ahead of myself about Illinois. But watch them pull off like an 18-15. Watch them go win in Chicago. Like, win the whole damn thing.
Yeah, that would hurt Nebraska's
it would crush Nebraska. It would crush Indiana.
Yeah.
It would crush Minnesota.
Yeah.
So you've got a split against a tournament team right now in Minnesota. You've beaten Indiana, and they're at a 13 seed. They're a play-in 13 against Oklahoma right now. So what do you believe right now? Do you think Nebraska's in? Do you think Nebraska's out? And you've got this dichotomy here where nationally people think Nebraska, they think Nebraska's in or right there to be in. Okay? Locally, around the great state of Nebraska, the good life, it is, dude, they're out. And they're in much of a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of what they've got schedule-wise. I think they're out. I think they're absolutely out. I don't think there's much discussion about it. I think 4-9 against tournament teams is great. I then go to what could have been pre-injury, where you could have banked some wins. And I hate going rear view. Mm-hmm. I just know that when Nebraska's lost this season, it has been not that they just got outplayed by the other team, but Nebraska helped out the other team a lot with some effort plays, with some lack of rebounding, with some shot selection. I mean, same song and dance, and I know their depth's garbage. Mm-hmm. But again, you didn't try to develop that depth. You were afraid to let somebody kind of stay in and make some mistakes and get better. You're now gun to your head, forced to play some of these young guys. And it's been okay. So I think they can absolutely play their way back in. And I think it wouldn't surprise me, is up and down as this basketball team is, it would not surprise me for them to lose Saturday against Northwestern. Mm-hmm. And then go steal one against Michigan or Michigan State. Because don't kid yourself, as good as Michigan and Michigan State are, and Michigan's offense has been kind of a shell of what it used to be, but they're playing better defense. They've been a problem. Michigan's been a problem offensively. And the big dogs, the Michigan and Michigan States, and even Purdue that had won 8 in a row, this league is so good that I mean, your regular season Big Ten champion may end up with 5 losses, because right now it looked like Michigan and Michigan State were running away with it. Well, they're sitting at 3 or 4 conference losses now. When your worst team, Penn State, drills the best team in Michigan, mm-hmm. that's just all you need to know. That is absolutely all you need to know about the Big Ten, where it shouldn't shock you. It can make you angry as a fan, but it shouldn't shock you that on a given night, Illinois, who's 6 games under .500, or Penn State, who was 0-10 in league play, just drilled your 2 seed. Mm-hmm. Or where Michigan State loses at home to a lifeless, gutless Indiana team that's full of NBA talent. Indiana can turn it on and be great when they want to be. I mean, the league is that freaking good with 9 teams supposedly getting a bid. Mm-hmm. So, where are you at? Are you buying what the national folks are selling? Hey, Nebraska, they're hanging on. They're still in. And 4-9 speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. It does. But I think 7 in a row hurts, and I think Nebraska will find a way to screw it up with these next 6.
Yeah, I mean, like, if the tournament started tomorrow, they're out. I mean,
apparently not. I mean,
well, I personally
depends. Right. I mean, locally, you've seen enough to where you're over it. You have no faith. You're frustrated, and you want more for this team and this coach and this program, because they're all good folks, mm-hmm. and it's not that they're not trying, but just some of the decision making that's been allowed to have been made this year. And their mental toughness, right? Where back to the losing hope discussion. Grow a freaking pair and be resilient. Okay? I'm going to get off my soapbox in the snow here, but you've played a lot of basketball. They are, if they put a run together, go 4-2, work their way in, then where are you at? I mean, that for sale sign you got in your trunk for Tim Miles, you're just going to get rid of it?
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, Ken emails in, chris@hailvarsity.com. If Glenn wasn't lost for 3/4 of the season, then we could be talking tournament team, but not after a last-second win and going 4-10. Kent, you're wise. Coach Brett has emailed in, calling me out. Says, put your money where your mouth is, fatty. And he guarantees Nebraska's an NCAA tournament. I call BS. I have stepped up. We have a stake in a beer bet. And his caveat is, well, none of this fancy restaurant stuff, home cooked. So I'm going to walk into Brett's house, wherever that is, and there's going to be a dungeon in the basement, and it'll be a reenactment of Pulp Fiction here with the gimp and the ball gag. He's luring me.
guarantee's too strong of a word.
He guaranteed it.
Too strong.
We're going to ask Bill Dolan. We're gonna play in or out.
They're guaranteed to have a 25% chance to maybe make it.
They're right. They have put themselves in position to not like have the door. Remember a year ago?
Where you thought it was wide open?
Well, yeah, because they're good. We were pretty fair about how bad the Big Ten was a year ago.
Yeah.
But they still went, they did well enough, right? They didn't have the Kansas win, and they got annihilated by Michigan. That sucked. That sucked being down there for the Big Ten tournament game. And, you know, we're at Longwell's, everyone's down there. And Michigan just freaking pulverizes Nebraska. Just kills them. And, you know, Michigan gets to the championship game.
Yeah.
And Nebraska tore Michigan limb from limb in Lincoln. Here's like where you can have hope. Okay, let's just walk for a little bit with Amir defensively, giving you minutes. Okay?
Right.
You have Glenn and Palmer combining to do what they've done. Nebraska was 11-2 and smoking people. Those guys were efficient. They were scoring well. You know the other part of this too? The other thing that might like turn Nebraska's corner here legitimately is think about the role Glenn has had to kind of take on. Mm-hmm. Freshman, sophomore year, go be scorer number two. Okay? Last year, distribute, be the point guard, score occasionally. But you're not our option anymore, right? So now, with Cope being out, Glenn's been elevated to your second score or 2A, right? Between whatever you're getting from him or Thomas Allen.
Yeah. He's had to assume a role didn't at the beginning of the year.
Right. He's gone back to a role it's when he's looked and played his best, and he's when he's been another option. So maybe that kickstarts him. I'm not betting on that. And I'm not trying to be a hater, too. I would love nothing more than from Nebraska basketball to get to the NCAA tournament. I mean, they are a fun team. Love the energy. The fan base is awesome. And you've been starving for it. I mean, you've had so many mixed emotions with this basketball team this year that it would be the cherry on top for them to, after you gave up on them, to find their way to the tournament. Bill Dolman's coming up. Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Great to join you on Friday. Snow covered around the state. Not my fault on that. You'll get through it. Baseball season gets rolling with Nebraska tonight out in California. And we'll hear from Husker Wrestling head coach Mark Manning in 35 minutes. We welcome in the Pride of Fairbury with NBC Sports. It is Bill Dolman time, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, I missed you last week. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
You seem a little tense in front. You're not on the bubble. What's up? How are you?
I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, I don't know what to make of this Nebraska basketball team any longer. Okay. And so, you know, I've been dreading this call since, well, last Friday, but in any event, I just don't know what to make of them. After the win over Minnesota the other night, the way it all went down, and now you hear Nebraska back in bubble conversations, which has mystified me over
they're on a lot of brackets, and I'm like, no.
Oh, I know. That's what I this whole week, in addition to preparing for World Cup Biathlon in Soldier Hollow, Utah this week, which, of course, you can catch on the networks of NBC, and cross-country tomorrow as well. You know, I'm trying to follow this team and how things are shaking out for the rest of the season. And it is, from afar, can it be intimately from afar watching this Nebraska basketball program? At this point, I just have no idea what to make of it. And then when you start to see them creep back into the conversations of national analysts, now not to say that they all know what they're talking about, but nevertheless, it's just exasperating. And I can only imagine what it's like for people who are there who don't know whether to go in Pinnacle Bank Arena or not. I can understand the confusion amongst Nebraska fans right now.
Bill, a thought here on Nebraska's popularity nationally. Is it a result of how good the Big Ten is, the fact that Nebraska's 4-9 against teams now slated in the tournament? Because you've got Seton Hall and you have Clemson and you have Indiana that have played really well. Minnesota, okay. Teams that were on the outside looking and they played their way back either into the next four in or they're a 12 seed or whatever, right? They've had a good 7 to 10 days. Those teams that Nebraska beat to help their resume. Is that, you look at what Nebraska's done, plus the Big Ten being, okay, Penn State, go crush Michigan. Okay, Illinois, go take down whoever you want in the league. And those are your bottom feeders, right? Or is it also a product here, this kind of this surge for Nebraska, that all these national folks have had a chance to hang out with Tim Miles or interview him or do something? He's awesome to talk to. He's a charmer. He's a guy that they want in. I mean, is that part of this too?
I don't know.
No?
I believe that there is a lot of goodwill that Tim Miles has built up over the last, since he was at Colorado State.
Mm-hmm.
He was a darling of the media back when I first met him. He's contemporary. He still is. I don't think his act is worn thin because I think coaches believe him to be genuine. They believe that when they, typically, when you do a game, and even at the upper levels, now people are doing games from their studios, which is a dirty little secret. But you typically go in the day before, you maybe had a conversation during the week, and you go in and you watch practice, you hang out. It's one of the best parts about the job is all the prep work that goes in, and then you get to meet the people, and you're around, and you understand what the programs are all about. And there's no question about it that if the game's on a Saturday, there's no better charmer on a Friday than Tim Miles. And it's genuine. People like the guy, and they root for the guy. They want to see him do well. You know, contrast that with, Bo Pelini did a good job as Nebraska's coach when it came to wins and losses. But he made no friends necessarily in the media. And so to that extent, Bo didn't get a lot of love when it came time for Bo to go. And you see the results of Tim Miles' personality really doing him a lot of favors and goodwill, and I think it's genuine from the national media. I don't think it's one of those deals where they say, well, Nebraska's got to keep Tim Miles so they can continue to suck and continue that storyline of Nebraska's the only major Division I school that's never won a game in the NCAA tournament. Let's just make sure we keep that going. I don't think that's the case. I think that they really want him to do well and to get into the tournament and to get that win. I really do believe that there are most of the national pundits who know him want him to keep doing what he's doing and believe that Nebraska had one of the best 30 teams in the country when they were ranked in the top 25. I think they were one of the best 15 teams in the country when they beat Creighton that night.
They've shown it, Bill, and also, I mean, don't kid yourself, a lot of the national pundits have – they went all in on Nebraska being a top 4 or 5 team in the league. I mean, they kind of called their shot that, Nebraska is going to be tremendous this year. And it's just been so much of a roller coaster. And you and I are on the same page with, you don't know what to make of this team. They could totally lose tomorrow night. They could reel off 3 in a row. I mean, this team, when you've counted them out for dead, they could find a way to get in. And they've played well enough at times this year to get in. They have a really nice resume. I mean, they do. I mean, if you finish 8th or 9th in the league this year, it's all right because the league's great. Even the worst team in the league's pretty good, okay?
And Nebraska did what it was supposed to do in terms of scheduling for the non-conference.
Yeah.
Nobody can doubt that of all the teams in the country who needed to do what the NCAA mandated 3 years ago or whatever it was, based on what happened last year to Nebraska, no team has done a better job in the country of going, all right, you know, now they had the team to do it. So, you know, Tim wasn't going out there with the, you know, with his first group or, you know, with a bunch of walk-ons. He's going, all right, I got Palmer, I got Copeland, I got Roby, I've got Watson, I got Thomas Allen. I don't have anybody behind that, but I got five really good players. So we're going to go tackle this. And they did it. And they won games. And they won the games that many people think that they probably shouldn't have won. But Nebraska did in the non-conference what has been mandated by the NCAA. No team in the country, I believe, has done a better job of responding to the call given what happened a year ago. And they tackled it and they won games. Now, they looked awful in losing against Texas Tech, which I've said week after week after week is the most glaring game of the year in terms of what could be the potential downfall for that team. But now, you know, they need to reinvent themselves. And this would go a long way in garnering respect. You know, they beat Minnesota, what, 62-61. Mm-hmm. They laid and, you know, they played well for 30 minutes against Purdue and looked like a Nebraska basketball team that we've known for the last 50 years. But they need to just start slugging it out with teams. And this was one of my criticisms with this team for the first half of the season, is that they just aren't tough. Physically, they are not tough, which means that mentally they're not tough. But now they need to completely change that. And they need to, they haven't scored 70 points in a game, I think, in their last 10.
That's right.
I mean, think about that. This team that scored 90, whatever it was, against Creighton and could score at will against most teams has not scored 70 points in 2 months. And so if you're going to say, all right, we're just not going to score anymore, all right, every game is going to be like that, like Mo Ibis coaching, all right? And we're going to get in that way. Games are going to be like Maryland 60-48 or 60-45, whatever that was. And you just got to go start slugging it out with everybody. And whoever's got five fouls on the bench, go out there and use them. And we're going to go down swinging. And we might get knocked out, but the other team's going to get knocked down a bunch of times too. That's the way Nebraska's got to win, because they're not going to go back on these scoring sprees when you had everybody at full tilt and still fairly rested like at the beginning of the season. They're just too gassed, for that matter.
Bill Dolman's with us, NBC Sports, the pride of Fairbury, Hale Varsity Radio, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. So, Bill, what gets Nebraska in? They have Northwestern Saturday. They're at Penn State the 19th. They host Purdue. They're at Michigan. They're at Sparty. They host Iowa.
Well, I think if you're looking at that schedule, it's
murder.
Four and two at
it's
best.
Murder.
It's 4-2 at best. But if you knock off Purdue at home, you know, and the crowd gets behind you, and you knock off Purdue, and now that essentially means you've won four in a row, because you've got to beat Northwestern and Penn State, so you got to get a win on the road. You're probably not going to win either game in Michigan. And then you come back and you beat Iowa. So what is that? That's 4-2 down the stretch, and you win a game, maybe two in the tournament, and maybe because of the respect of the Big Ten this year, maybe they get in. It's that bizarre at this point in the season. I don't think there is a greater enigma in college basketball right now than Nebraska, because so many people, I believe, going back to the early part of our conversation, so many national pundits want Nebraska to get in. I believe that. They want Tim to get in. And if they're able to do that based on what they did in the non-conference, and they have a winning record down the stretch, get five more wins with the conference tournament.
Okay.
My God, maybe they do get in. Maybe they're rewarded for taking on the challenge and scheduling in the non-conference, and they get in. Now, the committee will take into consideration that Copeland, right, is out.
Yep.
That will be a consideration, much like Kenyon Martin with Cincinnati, you know, several years ago. Mm-hmm. But, my God, if they win five games the rest of the way, I could see it happening. And it would be fantastic, and it would be stunning. But I could see
it would
Nebraska
be it would
in.
Be Nebraska basketball, Bill. That's what it would be.
It would be it would be as shocking as last year's team, which was one of the best 30 teams in the country, not getting in.
Yep.
If this team did get in, and it'd be like, well, that is 180 degrees of karma right there.
Then the road traveled to get in, right? Where you just kind of you glided through last year, and you had limited opportunity. This year, it has been it's been just a treacherous stretch, and you found a way to grind it out. So it would
isn't that the way people are feeling back home right now? Like we don't know what to make of it.
Well,
we don't know
locally,
we don't know whether to go in or go out. We don't know
nationally. People think they're in. A lot of people do. Locally, everyone's checked out. It's like, oh, great, Glenn and Palmer finally had some efficient numbers again. Where the hell's that been? Okay. I mean, that's
right.
People are screaming about the guard play. They're frustrated that way. The offense is bad. That's fine, but the shot selection's the part.
But we've been talking about this all year. I said it's an NBA wannabe team.
Yeah.
It's a team that has no depth beyond five guys who in early January were playing 32 minutes a game.
They did the dribble drive offense, actually. They went to it, and it worked against Minnesota. I have 2 minutes, and it's not long enough, but I got a hard 2 minutes here before I got to get out. Maurice Washington, what's your reaction to this week for Coach Frost?
Well, it's incredibly disappointing, and I'm a little surprised at how long. I mean, this thing was first brought to my attention at the end of last week, mm-hmm. and it continues to pop up on my phone as somewhat breaking news, and that there continues to be more and more to the story, but then when you read the story, it doesn't seem like there's more and more to the story. Mm-hmm. I think this is a real test for Scott Frost. There's no question about it. And whatever that was with the whole Pizzagate incident 2 days ago.
Right.
This is a test for Scott. I don't know if he's faced anything like this at Central Florida, but it's unfortunate. And, you know, whatever the timeline is in terms of what was known and when it was known and how much was known, that's probably the problem with everything that continues to trickle out about the story. That seems to be making it worse and worse all the time. So does Scott, you know, lay down his foot and say, we don't accept any of this stuff anymore, so goodbye? Or do we wait till everything comes out and find out and let the deal take its course? I don't know. But this is the part of the job that, you know, Scott Frost has to learn from, grow from, and go from here. And I hate it. I hate when I see those kinds of stories about my school and my team come up, and then of course I hear about it mm-hmm. From my friends in the media and others. You know what's going on, and you know you hear, oh, Lawrence Phillips, what? I mean, you hear all of that stuff come back again, and it's really sad. And I hope Scott handles it well. I hope John Bruning, whatever his involvement happens to be, is, you know, well advised, and if punishment needs to be meted out, then I hope it is, you know, extensive, whatever the charges, if there are any, what they demand. If there aren't any, then I hope that there's, you know, some type of, I don't want to say apology, but an understanding of what really went down and why he was involved.
Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. Bill, give folks a shout again, about 30 seconds, when they can catch you on the tube.
NBC, the networks of NBC with World Cup Biathlon, which this week is in Utah, so it's kind of fun to see it on the domestic side of the planet, and World Cup cross-country skiing tomorrow. Jesse Diggins, who won the Olympic gold medal, one of the great moments in Olympic history. She and the Americans are in action this weekend, and we're all leading into the World Championships next weekend, next month. So it's a lot of fun to be a part of NBC right now.
You're awesome, Bill. Hey, man, it was fun to chat with you, and we'll have a better handle, maybe, after Saturday, and we'll talk next week, man. Appreciate you.
All right, go Big Red.
There he is, Pride of Fairbury's Bill Dolman. And at Bill Dolman's, where you follow him and watch him with NBC Sports. Brandon Vogel is coming up with Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas,
think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Good stuff from Bill Dolman. Mark Manning, head Nebraska wrestling coach, coming up in 15 minutes. State wrestling going on. And Nebraska off to Ohio State. Good hoops thoughts from Bill Dolman. Colton Stone is in. Chris Schmidt. And Brandon Vogel with us at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, how's your week, man?
Oh, not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm all right, man. Just getting through it, and it is, you know, one of those weeks to get into a lot of different things. We can hit some basketball. You have the Dawson stuff with him leaving, and I did not get a chance to talk with you on Monday regarding Maurice Washington, and I don't want to belabor this story, but I haven't talked to you about it, so I wanted to kind of get your assessment right now of where Nebraska's at and your reaction to it, just for the audience, the chance to get your take on things. Not obviously coming to any conclusions, but just, you know, a big question mark this week has been the timeline about, you know, Nebraska's knowledge and what they were able to glean information-wise. That became a little clearer yesterday.
Yeah, it did. And I think that was kind of the clear question, or the biggest question out there. And we still don't know kind of exactly what Nebraska knew, though we have an idea that at what point an attorney got involved, and it's an attorney who, you know, has some pretty clear connections to the athletic department. I don't think that's any big surprise or anything nefarious necessarily either. You know, if you find out you've got a player who's got an issue, there are those sorts of people at every major college football program in the country, which doesn't make it good or bad, just kind of the way things are. So, you know, we know where it's at, I guess, in the legal system at this point, and he's going to have to go to California and face those charges. So at that point, you know, Nebraska will have a decision to make. These are the tough ones when you're a head football coach. What do you do in that situation? I don't know that there's a correct answer in my mind, because I can see kind of two sides of it there. But I don't have to make it either. So thankfully, I guess, for me at least, in that case.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, let's talk Nebraska basketball here. We'll get to some football thoughts moving forward here when it comes to, you know, the roster. But we've spent the last, like, hour on this. In or out, Nebraska basketball, where do you lean?
Very much out right now. I mean,
is it even like a question? I mean, you're like, Schmidt, are you drinking still? I mean, no, I don't think they're in, but everybody with a bracketology site says they're in. Not everyone, but most.
Yeah, I certainly don't think they're in at this point. Like, I think if they were to get two more wins, and, you know, they've got some games where that's not out of the question, then you could maybe start to have the conversation. Now, the wild card in this whole thing is the new net rankings, the new system that's replaced RPI. And we haven't seen what that looks like for a tournament field yet. A little bit of it has to do with how the Big Ten shakes out. You know, for a long time, people were talking like 10 teams are going to get in. Well, if some of those are more clearly on the bubble, you know, how many teams get, or what's the fewest amount of teams that get in from the Big Ten in a strong year for the conference?
Probably eight, don't you think?
Yeah, I would think that's probably the number. But we don't know yet. We haven't seen it with this set of rankings. Needs to do pretty well there, and I think that's probably pushing a little bit of all of the bracketology talk where Nebraska's still in, or they're in the first four out. So, I mean, their chances aren't dead, but I would not project them to be in at this very moment.
So what gets them in? Is it 4-2? I know we talked to Bill about this last segment. I still think if you don't get a win in Chicago, yeah, I think you gotta steal one in Michigan. You can't lose in Siberia. You gotta win Saturday. I mean, I think 5-1 is like mandatory. Maybe that's too hard.
No, I'm kind of there. I think 5-1, and plus you can't go to Chicago and lose bad on the first day for sure. You probably need to win at least one there. But if you do that and you kind of finish 5-2, you come out of this 7-game tailspin with a team that, you know, needed some games to kind of figure out how it was going to win without without Isaac Copeland. Mm-hmm. Well, then if you have a resume that would have been in, you know, and it's always hard to tell how much the committee factors is in. How well are you playing? Do you have your team as at its best at the end of the season? Everyone knows that Nebraska will not be that without Copeland. It just won't. But if they finish strong, you know, that could end up working in their favor. If they've got a resume that's deserving and it's still sort of deserving despite the loss of one of their best players, well, that's a pretty compelling borderline case, I think, when the committee gets down to those really tough decisions at the end.
Think about this resume they have. They're non-conference really good. They're 4-9 right now against teams that, per bracketology, are in. Seton Hall's better. They're in. Clemson, they're better. They're in. Tech is still a strong 3 or 4 seed in a really good Big 12, right? I don't think I'm off there. I think the Big 12 is pretty good this year.
Yeah, I would agree.
And then you look at Maryland and Minnesota and Indiana have played their way out of even play-in to be a, you know, an 11 seed or a 10 seed here. And in Indiana, I should say, is a play-in right now against Oklahoma per ESPN. But, I mean, this league is going to murder one another. It's been murdering one another with Penn State and Illinois and Rutgers just beating whoever they want, man. I mean, the most consistent team right now, I think, has been Iowa, dare I say. I mean, they win the games at home they're supposed to win. They've been decent. I mean, they haven't been punched on the road, really, that I can recall. And so they didn't beat Michigan State when Michigan State was about to teeter. Everyone's teetered this year in the Big Ten. But I think the point you made about, okay, can they come out of it, put a run together without Copeland, that'd be incredible. That would sway me if I'm on the committee. Not only if they finish 5-2, but they did it without Copeland. And as Bill mentioned, they kind of reinvented themselves, and they're winning 65-60 instead of trying to score 100.
And that's the key benefit in my mind of having a committee made up of human beings, is that they're able to look at that and make a judgment call on. Yeah, we know Nebraska would have been a lot better with Copeland, but and they went into a serious funk where it was fair to ask, are they going to be able to come out of it? And we don't know. I mean, one game doesn't mean that they're out of it by any means. You know, they've got to go out and win a couple of games that are the most winnable games left on the schedule here coming up. But you have people who can assess that, and I think that is, you know, if Nebraska closes strong here, that tells you something about the fight that they may have in them, and from there, then you're talking about, well, how strong or weak is the bubble? You know, are there one bid leagues that we think right now that, you know, go to a tournament, conference tournament upset, all that stuff, and that would all factor in too, of course.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, I want a couple of last thoughts from you, man, and we'll talk to you tomorrow as well, but your takeaway here on Dawson's departure, do you go look in the AAC? Do you go look in the Big 12? Do you look in the Big 10? Where do you go if you're Frost here for this, to go get a recruiter and a teacher?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because it's the first time we've seen Frost have to do this for an assistant coaching position since he started as a head coach. So it's notable on that front. Also, his tenure, you know, is still short enough that you got to dig pretty deep to find those direct coaching connections. And I don't always like to go that way. Like, I don't always think 1 + 1 = 2 when you're trying to project a coaching hire, or at least project a field of potential hires. But in this case, with how tightly knit that staff is, and the, you know, how long they've been together, you know, which 3 years may not seem like a lot, but in college football world, it kind of is. Somebody that's familiar to them, I think, would have an immediate leg up. Now, I just don't know how many of those guys there are. You know, there's some people out there that have coached a good deal of football, but may or may not be a fit. And if they go out into to truly the open market where they're just interviewing people they've had no connection with, you know, I expect them to probably go. I would expect them to go towards the younger kind of recruiter side mm-hmm. of the spectrum versus the more experienced coach. But who knows? You know, I think that's a better fit for kind of the makeup of this staff. And recruiting is really important on the defensive line. You know, when this job was open, I think when Perella took it, you know, that was the discussion. You want a recruiter, you want a technician, and you can make arguments both ways. Recruiting's really competitive on the defensive line, though. I'll say that.
You got to go get a recruiter and then get a guy that can teach, and you get a good enough player. Doesn't matter what you teach him, they're going to go get the quarterback, and it'll be okay. Vogues, I know you're headed down to AAF country. Do you want to share, or do you want to keep it under wraps?
No need to keep it under wraps. But this is a lifelong Birmingham Iron fan. I'm gonna go watch that game. Not to see my all time favorite AAF team play, but they're hosting Salt Lake.
Yes.
Salt Lake tomorrow, which
they're hosting
which
Nebraska West.
Yeah, the Nebraska Stallions. Featuring some former Huskers. So I'm going to get the chance to go down there to Legion Field and cover that game and see how Kenny Bell and Bando and Terrell Davey and DeMornay are doing. Mm-hmm. So and I'm excited. You know, the AAF was pretty interesting in this opening weekend, so I'll see it in person this time.
15 seconds. Are you wearing a houndstooth since you're going to Legion Field?
You know, I hadn't thought of that, but it just given me an idea there. I think that would be fitting.
I like it. Well, I'm anxious to read and get your thoughts on AAF football. Loved watching it last weekend, and Kenny was fun. I need one of those Stallions like quarter zips. That blue is good looking. Vogues, we'll talk in the morning. Thanks again for the time, bud.
All right, thanks a lot.
There he is, Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Head wrestling coach Mark Manning's next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with the head man with Nebraska Wrestling, Coach Mark Manning. Coach, how you been?
I've been doing well. We're having a good year.
Yeah, you are. And it is a matchup at Ohio State this weekend, and you can stream it on BTN Plus and follow Nebraska Wrestling. And, Coach, let's touch on just kind of the momentum your kids have right now, how things have been going, and just kind of the building process this year.
Yeah, you know what? We have, in some ways, a pretty young team as far as experience. Guys wrestling at the NCAA tournament, the NCAA and the Big Tens, but our guys have really come together this year, and they're really, you know, just wrestling really hard for each other, and you know, you experience some ups and downs, but these guys have really just really come together as a group, and there's a purpose and a good spirit about this team.
What do you attribute that resiliency to?
Man, I just think they really believe in the process. They believe in their training, and they know, you know, they're never out of a match. They, you know, I didn't even realize we were down 14-0 to Minnesota, and our guys didn't flinch. They just kept wrestling. They kept, you know, next man up. Next guy out there has got to do his job, and it's really a positive sign for our guys moving forward.
Mark Manning's with us, Nebraska Wrestling at Ohio State this weekend on Sunday. And let's start off with your captain, Tyler Berger. He wrestles at 157. What's been fantastic about him? I know he's well thought of, obviously, as the captain, but he has had just a tremendous season.
Yeah, he has. He's ranked number two in the country right now, behind Jason Knopf from Penn State, who's a two-time national champ. But Tyler kind of epitomizes what we've really been trying to get across to our guys, and that is leadership. And one, you can talk about it, and then you got to do it when it's needed. And Tyler, last week, he didn't practice all last week. Monday through Friday, he was not on the mat because he had injury with his neck, and his neck was all jammed up. And it got better as the week went on, but we really didn't want to use him. But he was ready to compete for us, and we needed him on Friday night. And that was a big match. And he ended up winning overtime, probably, you know, could have got it done in regulation. But he wasn't 100%. And that just shows, you know, the guys on his team that, hey, I'm going to do what it takes. And I'm going to step up because my team needs me, not just because I'm not 100%. He wasn't injured enough that he couldn't go, but he really feel like it. He hadn't practiced all week, and so he just really showed great leadership, saying, "Hey, I'm going. I don't feel 100%, but I'm going to go, and I'm going to get it done for my team and my teammates." And that's really positive signs.
Do you have to say anything to a kid like Berger, or is it kind of all internal? Is it that kind of that character you saw in him when you brought him here?
Well, no, it's definitely something you learn, and just going through the ups and downs of being a student athlete and being, you know, in a tough sport that's one-on-one, and you know, you're not going to probably go undefeated your whole career, so there's going to be some ups and downs, and so just a trial by error, really, and him just figuring what makes him tick, but also on a bigger stage, what makes our team tick, and being a piece of puzzle, being a difference maker, that guy that ignites your team. And you know, we have some fun guys in Mikey Laverola and Taylor Vance and Eric Schultz, guys that can put some points on the board. Isaiah White, you know, so it's, you know, people feed off each other, and Tyler really did a great job of that Friday night.
Let's spend some time on Jensen, his progress this year.
Wow. David's really, David came to our program 4 years ago, and he weighed 208 pounds. he didn't even actually start wrestling. His brother was our heavyweight, and David, you know, entered college, just was going to come to school here. So from where he's come from to where he is now, ranked, I think he's ranked in the top 10 in the country, right, at heavyweight. He weighs 280 pounds, put on 35 pounds from last spring till now, and made himself into, you know, a bigger, stronger version of himself, and just put a lot of time in the sport. And so really, really happy for this guy because he really deserves it. He's put a lot of work, like I say, and he's really epitomizes what hard work and determination can do for a guy. And so he's really he's not surprising to our team, but it's just great to see because he started off the year we had mono in the month of November. So he wasn't in our lineup until, you know, toward the middle of December. So just overcoming and taking each day for what it's worth.
Mark Manning, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, what's it mean to have Jordan and James around the program?
Oh, man, these guys are great. They're great for our team, and they're great just as far as mentors. You know, they're in the locker room. They're around our guys, like you said, every day, practice, getting ready. You know, James has been overseas, wrestled in some international tournaments in December and January, and they're both getting ready to go to Bulgaria for a big tournament at the end of February, 1st of March. So they're great. They're not only great wrestlers, but they're great ambassadors for Nebraska, and obviously for Nebraska wrestling. They lead by example with their work ethic and their discipline.
Mark Manning with us, Hail Varsity Radio, head coach, Nebraska wrestling, big showdown with Ohio State. Husker wrestling's been on fire this season. It's been fun to follow. The crowd support's been incredible. Coach, about a minute here. A thought on Ohio State, just a general outlook on, you know, what you expect from your kids and what you're going to need to get out of your kids against a tough opponent.
Yeah, you know, I think going into this match, off the top of my head, I know they have a lot of ranked guys. They have a lot of talent on their team. And So we're gonna have a good challenge on Sunday, but it's really probably gonna come down to bonus points, and we've been really pushing getting bonus points throughout the year, and just getting the pin when you can get a pin, get a major decision or technical ball. It's tough to do in college wrestling, but just putting in that extra work, and it is work to major decision a guy or, you know, go get the extra takedown or go put a guy in his back late. And, you know, we've just been really preaching that and really trying to get our guys to buy into that fact that, you know, bonus points is going to be really important at Big Tens and Nationals. And so, let's do it more on dual meets. So overall, I'm just thinking, you know, bonus points is going to be big because they're probably going to win some. We're going to win some, but it's going to come down to some of the toss-up matches and, you know, probably 149, 141, you know, 133 could be a toss-up match, 197. So it's going to be a lot of fun matches, and it's good for our team. They're ready for the challenge.
Coach, best to you guys this weekend. Thanks for a few minutes.
You bet. Appreciate it, Chris. Go Huskers.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time here on a Friday, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big thanks, Greg Smith, Bill Dolman, Brandon Vogel, and head coach of the Nebraska wrestling team, Mark Manning, for joining us this wonderful winter day. Stay safe out there. Obviously not great weather. Drive carefully. More snow probably on the way. And weather that a baseball team's dealing with, obviously can't even avoid it once you go out to the West Coast. They're playing at UC Riverside. That game set to pitch in about 12 minutes, maybe a little less. First pitch coming at 6 Central, just a little after. But they're dealing with rain. Their game got moved up 2 hours. Was supposed to be an 8 p.m. pitch our time, moved up to 6. And starting 9 out there includes 6 freshmen or sophomores. So it's going to be interesting to see something that has obviously been a struggle for Nebraska is relevance in baseball. You can say arms with pitching. You can say it's just been injuries. It's been youth. It's been lack of experience, whatever it may be. But there have been plenty of seniors and plenty of talent that have come through here. Is this the year they finally get over the hump in Big Ten play? 2 years ago, you thought that's what it was, and then they go 0-2 in the Big Ten tournament, then they lose 2 more in the NCAA tournament in the regionals. So it's I don't know, it's kind of one of those seasons for Nebraska sports where you just kind of hold on the edge of your seat and hope, because you haven't seen a lot out of this baseball team. You've seen glimmers of hope, you've seen great opportunities for them, but they seem to get tripped up. I believe they're projected in a tie for 6th right now in the Big Ten, and that's kind of about where they've been finishing recently. Not great. It's the one sport you thought transferring from Big 12 to Big Ten was going to be huge. You thought it was going to be just leaps and bounds better than everybody else because you're coming from a much better baseball conference. You're a much better baseball program historically. Just hasn't quite been there. Pieces haven't quite fallen into place. So it'll be interesting to see how that season starts. Baseball is shortly on the way, whether the weather looks like it or not. I mean, we've got baseball for the pros starting here pretty soon for spring training, and now obviously college starting. So you've got 4 games with UC Riverside for Nebraska this weekend, and it could be a tone setter because there's times where they go out west, they struggle, they play in Oregon State, they play UC Irvine, UC Riverside, Cal Poly, fill in the blank, and they struggle. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get it rolling and get it started early and get the season off too good start right away. He said, big thanks, Greg Smith, Brandon Vogel, Mark Manning, and Bill Dolman. Those will be uploaded on demand on the web, on the website, on Twitter as well, and we'll get some of the best of. We are here tomorrow. Schmidt, Kranach, and myself for a good old Saturday morning. We'll be joined by Brandon Vogel and Gary Sharp. Thanks for listening.